Welcome back to our talk on money management. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. I take my two youngest to the grocery store so I could practice telling them no. You know, Daddy, can we get this? No. Can we do that? No. No.
Well, I love that you brought the word in budget, because again, our children should be learning that a budget is a natural part of our financial life, because these are the money conversations could and should happen early. And again, you know, like myself, I didn't know a lot, and so I didn't teach a lot. But, you know, our message is for those that are new parents, like, you know, it's never too early to teach them about the Lord Jesus, and it's never too early to teach them about finances. Like, we start teaching about tithing and generosity, you know, from a very early age. And, you know, when I mention generosity, I want to lean in to this conversation that I think that one of the biggest pervasive ways that the evil one messes with us without us even being aware of it is God has released principles into the earth. Now, you don't have to be a Christian to apply these principles, just like you don't have to be a Christian to obey the law of gravity. Okay. The principle of the law of gravity, just like the principle of a sperm and an egg, if they come together, okay, that's not God making a baby. It's the principle of conception that is released into the earth. Well, there's a principle of generosity. And, you know, I believe, gentlemen, that the enemy wants to keep us hindered with our undisciplined money habits, because guess what? It keeps a person from being generous. After all, the mindset is, well, I don't even have enough for myself. How am I supposed to have enough for someone else? But I'm just going to read some scriptures. Mm-hmm. This is what the Lord says. He says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. The Lord will reward them for what they have done. Says, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. In other words, God remembers the things that we've done. Says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Says, those who give to the poor will lack nothing. They who are always generous and lend freely, their children will be a blessing. So there's these financial, and there's so many more. I mean, literally, there's probably 100 more. One of my favorites is that, you know, the more that we give, the more we receive. It's like in God's principle of generosity, the more I give away, it's as if the king of generosity says, I cannot let you outgive me, right? God has to show himself glorious over all things. Now, we're talking about generosity, not recklessness, okay? Because the Bible also says you need to provide for your home. But we're talking about when we recognize I'm a kingdom person, and I believe the principles that God has set down, that when I see the needs of others and I provide for the needs of others, I will never be poor. In that I will not be poorer, I will actually be richer. Why? Because number one, I have fulfilled the law of God, which is love. I have met the need of someone else, and God says he's going to make sure that I'm going to, in my time of need, have my need met. So if you have been deceived by the evil one, you know, that you don't have enough to give away. Listen, I was there too. And in a real broke time of my life, right, the Lord asked me very tenderly, you know, what do I have to give away? And I, in my little poor self-pity party, said, I don't have anything to give away. And the Holy Spirit's like, really? Really? Nothing? And then he began to question me, like, you don't have a loaf of bread? You don't have a book? In other words, he's saying, it just takes a seed. And of course, I mean, I laugh about it now. I even laughed about it then, because, like, of course I had a book I could give away. Of course I had a dollar I could give away, right? Sometimes when we think of generosity, we think too big. Now, certainly the Holy Spirit wasn't saying, I only want you to give a dollar. What he was challenging me, and I'm challenging you in, is we always have more than we imagine we do. And so he started me on this new mindset of generosity. I always have something to give away. And as I release it, like all seed, listen, we all know this, but it bears repeating, right, gentlemen? I can hold an acorn in my hand all day. And in that acorn is a great mighty oak tree. But if I just hold that seed, nothing will ever be produced. I've got to put that seed, I got to put it in the right soil, in the right ground, and it knows what to do. It knows how to produce life. Well, this is what happens with, you know, anything that we have to share with others. Put it in the right ground. Water it with God's promises, and you watch God do the seemingly impossible for you.
And then that giving process, if we're caught up into that giving process of God, then it becomes enjoyable, becomes so satisfying that nothing is like it, you know? That's the reason marriages are supposed to be so special in being a parent, because we're in that giving process. It's the same thing with our money. For generous and praying from the outset, the Holy Spirit shows us opportunities. And then when we feel nudged by the Holy Spirit, go ahead and give, then there's nothing like it. It creates a positive momentum and a joyfulness that's great.
Yeah. And going back to the giving, sometimes we have this mindset that I'm going to give to get. And what we end up doing is we end up being disappointed because we don't get what we think we should get. And, you know, there's a time and a place, you know, we live in God's economy as Christians, that he's the one that has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And we think, oh, if I do this for God, then he's going to give me lots of money and then I'm never going to have to worry again. And it's like, no, that's not quite what God wants us to do. You know, he wants to lead us. He wants us to become stronger. There was a time that, you know, we gave a car to the church and we weren't looking for anything in return. And about 7 years later, you know, I was looking at it and going, man, I think I'm going to have to sell my Jeep just to keep, keep money in the bank. And the next Sunday, you know, somebody walked up to me at church and says, hey, so-and-so wants to give you a car. And it's like, and it wasn't like I was looking for it. It wasn't something that I was wanting to say, if I do this, then I'm going to get this back. No, if anything, I was really surprised. But then I said, okay, Lord, I see what you did there. You know, he used us in a time to give a vehicle away that we could have gotten like $3,000 for. And somebody's driving it now still. And then the car that was given to us was an older car, but had like 70,000 miles on it. And it was a 20-year-old vehicle. And guess what? We sold it for about $3,000. And those things, it wasn't that we were giving it to get, but it was as if God was saying, hey, you know, I got you covered. I want you to know that I see what you're going through and you're going to be okay. And what that does is builds reinforcement in our own hearts to say that, you know, I have to trust and lean on him. And if I can trust and lean on him, then I know that when things are bad, I'm going to be okay. Even if they aren't, I'm still going to be okay. So, you know, going back to what Jesus was saying, I want to read this real quick, you know, because he's in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And what could those treasures be? The only thing I can take with me to heaven are others. You know, those are the treasures. Those are the treasures that we need to be seeking after. And then we think that, oh, if I give money, I'm going to get back money in return. It's like, no, what about peace? What about, you know, what about love? You know, he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. Your eyes are healthy. Your whole body will be full of light. But if the eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either they will hate the one and love the other, or they will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so, you know, we have people that are seeking after money as that happiness, and we're devoting ourselves to that instead of seeking after God, who gives us happiness, who's the one that brings joy in our life. And then we wonder why it never meets our needs. It's never satisfying. But if we seek after God, then what he'll do is he will give us what we need. It's like when I tell my children, I would love to give that to you, but I can't. I would love for you to have this because this is what you need. You know, if I gave my children candy and ice cream for dinner, I'm being a terrible father. Is candy and ice cream bad? No, but if it's the only thing, yes, it is. You know, I have to give them what they need in order for them to grow and be healthy.
Joseph, I've met your children are brilliant. So when they go out and make hundreds of thousands of dollars each per year, you better hope that, Dad, no, you didn't buy me. I'm not going to, no.
Yeah. Dad, we're putting you in a home. I'm already in a home. You know,
no, they'll be very successful because you taught them the right way. You and your wife. I've seen in my own family, where there's a couple people. I had a lot of aunts. They had like six or seven aunts and a couple uncles and just biological. Then all the married ones and so on. And then a couple of them are very generous with their time, with their resources, and they're giving at the kindness of their heart. You know, and even their children have prospered. They own properties and they have good careers and they're satisfied and they have good family cohesion. And the others who were a little bit more stingy and they were really tightwads, I've got people that won't even take me to the store to buy me a pack of crackers, but yet they're the ones that are marginally in poverty and they're kind of ignorant in some ways. They're not well educated and various other things. So it has ramifications. Being greedy and not being generous with God's economy and the way he wants us to do it. Not stupid, not in a foolish way, but being generous of heart, giving what we can away because he's given us everything, can really bless us. And if not, it gives us poverty of soul and mind and spirit if we don't live that generous way of life.
Yeah, and you bring forth that scripture that I was alluding to a while ago. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unfairly, but comes to poverty.
Right.
Right. Doesn't seem to make sense. The world's math does not equal God's kingdom economy. Right. And it says a generous person will prosper. A generous person will prosper. And as you both were talking, I was thinking about how Jesus said, right, to, you know, in the time of where he's dividing, right, the people, the nations. And then he says, you know, you gave a cup of water. See, just a cup of water. See where Jesus tests us? Is that like, oh, I thought I had to give something really huge. No, according to Jesus, it's a cup of water, a cup of cold water to somebody in need, right? It's the issue of the heart. And what Kevin was just bringing forth was that, you know, can't even take someone to the store, right? Their whole life is a life of poverty, poverty of self, a poverty of relationship, a poverty of financial. You know, a man reveals himself with the way he gives himself away. Now, I do understand that sometimes we've been hurt by people and we've lived a life of lack. And so we think wrongly that, you know, I'm going to hoard. We don't use that word, but that's what it is. I'm going to hoard and keep it and I'll take care of myself. But it goes back to what Joseph was saying. That's not the kingdom way. In Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And these things were food, drink, what to wear, all the things that we care about as human beings. And so, you know, the message is seek first the kingdom, because we have a very generous king. And, you know, gentlemen, I know that you deal with this too, with brokenhearted clients who feel like they are stuck in a no-win situation with money. And we've all been there. You know, I thank God that he's allowed me to be there so that I have compassion, but I also learn the strategies of the kingdom of heaven, right? And you know, the three of us, you know, want to challenge you that if that's where you're at, you know, really consider a zero-based budget. I'm not going to go into that. There's lots of great teachings. It's all that to say this, though. It's where you can account for every dime. And where you begin to account for every dime, this has been my reality, is that I have women that have maybe begun their own business and they go, I just don't have any money. And then when we begin to look through where their money's going, literally they're spending $500+ a month on DoorDash for themselves. That's not any groceries. That's just them getting a few meals. And so I show them, right, you have a lot more money than you know, but because you're not, you know, budgeting, because you're not being responsible with where every dime goes, back to what Joseph said, I'm sorry, Kevin said, which is God owns everything. You know, God actually owns all of our money. And he does give us freedom to buy the things that we like and enjoy. But, you know, are you ever mindful that the dollar that you're spending here is okay with God? And then we act as if God is not generous, when really what it is it's an issue. And again, I'm speaking to myself. I've been there. I'd like to think I've graduated out of these places, because I know what it is to hurt financially. And I got to be honest and say, I also saw that the majority of it was my own fault. I didn't live out kingdom principles. I was, paying compound interest, not earning compound interest through investing, right? And as the Holy Spirit rebuked me one day, rightfully, warmly, lovingly, he said to me one day, as I was on my face, literally crying because of the financial situation we were in, I was so mad at my husband, gentlemen. Oh, I was so mad at him, even though he hadn't done anything wrong. But you got to be mad at somebody, right? I was so mad at myself, you know. And the Holy Spirit said, if anybody should be insulted, it should be me. Now that does not make sense. And then when I inquired, how does that even make sense? This is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, anytime you ever needed tires for your car, and he's referring to my Lexus that was out in the parking lot, he said, never once did you ever ask me. He said, instead, you went to your MasterCard. Well, I have a MasterCard, but I got the message real loud and clear what he was saying. Never when an $800 bill came up, or you knew it was going to cost $800, never once, Lord, did you get on your knees and say, Lord, how will you provide these tires for me? Lord, you give me permission to put this on credit, to which the Lord would have said no, right? Just like what you said, the lender becomes a slave, right? Mm, yeah. And so the Lord allowed Jim and I to go into the pit in 2008, 2009, when all the world kind of seemed to go crazy financially. And I was mad and I was angry. But here's what I learned. Jim and I had dug ourselves, not sinfully. We weren't spending our money on sinful things, but we were reckless in that we were not obeying exactly what you gentlemen are talking about. And then when the day of trouble comes, and this is why we're having this conversation with you, listener, because you never know when the day of trouble is going to come.
Right.
And we were prepared. Listen, we were born again, but we were not prepared. And, you know, through the threat of us almost losing our home, the Lord spared us. And he began to teach us his kingdom principles. He used Dave Ramsey to teach us how to create a zero-based budget. And then we began to not spend a dime unless it was approved of the Lord, right? Because we had to learn to be disciplined.
Yes.
And so if this is a message for you, something that you can lean into, you know, we're just saying God wants the best for you. We want the best for you. And I'm just going to leave the listener with this. If I could leave you one last message, I would say, you know what? Stop listening to your broke friends and stop listening to all of the world around you. Begin to proclaim, declare, and you'll speak the word of the Lord. Begin to declare what God has said. Begin to speak forth the word. You could say, for instance, I give freely and I get even more. I do not withhold anything good from anybody, and therefore I shall never come to poverty. Like, put the word of God in your mouth, live out the scripture, begin to speak over your house, declare, prophesy, you know, proclaim the goodness of God, and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he promises he will add all things that are needed unto you.
Amen. I'd like to leave the listener with the encouragement to pay off your credit cards, quit spending money, get your credit cards paid off. And then I don't know if this is part of the zero budget you were talking about, Laura, but if you can't pay cash for it, don't buy it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I have a client that he's snowballing his credit card and debts and stuff like that. And he is starting to see all of the benefits of being able to pay those off. And because, you know, when he and his wife are working, they have a baby that they're putting through daycare and in all these things, they're thinking, oh, we can't afford. I was like, well, you guys make twice as much money as I do. I've got four kids and, you know, I'm not worrying about what next month's going to look like. I said, you have to unsaddle yourself with the debt. You have to do everything you can to get out from underneath that, because what it's doing is it's crushing you. And then you are a slave. One of the things that I would want to leave with people is that we don't have everything all together. We don't have everything, you know, straight. You know, I use a credit card for gas just like Kevin does. You know, Dave Ramsey says no credit cards, you know, and that's fine. We're not saying to take every single thing. But what we want you to do is start moving in that direction. Because if you stay where you are, nothing is going to get better. You're going to feel that weight and it's crushing you. When the financial bad times come, it's better to be debt free than it is to have all that debt saddled on you, because you can ride that wave and get to the other side and be okay. And so we want you to know that God's principles are here not to hold you back, but to set you free. And mm-hmm. If you need help, need help figuring out what to do, couple things. Financial Peace University. You can go online. You can find a church that is putting it on, and go be with other people. I'll tell you this: when my wife and I first went through it, we were in a class with a college president, and his wife was a professor in mathematics. And they told us, we wish we had this 30 years ago. Okay? It doesn't matter how smart you are, what letters you have after your name, the degrees, you could have doctor behind your name, and you're still making terrible decisions. That opened up my eyes to, there are really smart people out there making terrible decisions that need to be refocused, corrected, so that they can continue to live life without the struggles. So you may think, well, I'm a financial planner and I'm struggling, or I'm a business owner and I'm struggling. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, you need to set your ego aside and go take the class, take those principles, because what you're doing is you're taking the rotten wood out of your boat and putting new fresh wood in there so that you can stay afloat. You know, if you go out and buy a boat and start drilling a bunch of holes in it, somebody would say, hey, that's stupid. But that's what we do when we go into debt. We're buying something and putting holes in it, and then we have to go back and try to plug in those holes. So, you know, you need to change your mindset. So Financial Peace University. The other thing you can do is go onto our website and go to our client page and fill it out. If you want to talk to us, we can help you. We can, you know, we have enough knowledge to say, hey, let's look at your budget. When I, at the church, when people would come to us and say, hey, I need help with our power bill, we'd help them with the power bill. The second time that they would come and say, hey, I need help with the power bill, what they've done is they've invited us into their finances, because we want to be able to see what we can do to help them so that they don't need help. And you can invite us into your finances to take a look to see what you can do to get yourself on the correct course. So Financial Peace University, or go to our website. Also, go to if you don't have a Bible-believing church that you're a part of, go be a part of it. There are a lot of people that have walked through your shoes, that have been where you have been, and they can say, I know what you're going through. Let's go in this direction. Let me help you with some of those principles. Let me help you with the accountability, because we need accountability. We need somebody to say, hey, how are you doing? Are you doing those things that you're supposed to be doing? Because we can say, oh, I'm doing this, but in reality, we're not. So we need to be held accountable. So Financial Peace University.
Even though I've said my last word, but I got to add to what you said, it takes humility. It's like you said, you got to drop your pride, because we're all ashamed of our finances when we're like this. And I definitely was like that. So yeah, thank you for inviting them. Everybody feels uncomfortable, especially the professors and the math experts. But we need to humble ourselves so that we can find freedom.
Absolutely.
And I'll also add, if you feel compelled, if you, the listener, feel compelled, and like you got it, some impulsivity or energy towards buying something and you can't control your spending, you probably have a mental health disorder that's going to take a professional. It could be a bipolar situation. It could be impulsivity problems, which goes along with several disorders and so on. It may be more than just a spending habit. It may be a neurological mental health problem. So please call us or get a hold of some counselor, a therapist someplace who has some expertise in this.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're here to help you, and there's no judgment. We want you guys to move in the direction that you need to be empowered and to be in control of what God has given you. And it's called being a good steward. So we want to be able to help people to be good stewards, so that not only are we in peace, but we're going to help others along the way too. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.